Good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday morning to you. It's so good to be able to gather together with the family of God in worship this morning and just to draw near to the presence of God and to pray for one another and encourage one another. If you're tuning in with us this morning, please just say hi to us and let us know how you're doing. We want to engage with you. And if you're tuning in for the first time today, let us know this is your first time and tell us where you're listening from. You know, if it's here in Florida or in the States or overseas, just let us know where you're listening from. We just want to connect a little bit with you and get to know you a little bit better. So go ahead and just put first time and let us know where you're listening from. And for all of those tuning in right now, we just want to encourage you to share the live stream on your social media. Just take an opportunity right now, hit that share button so that your friends and your family members can join in with us as well. Almost every week, we're having people receive Jesus as Savior. And when you share it, you're giving your friends and family members an opportunity to meet Jesus. So take that opportunity right now and share the live stream on your social media. Be a social media evangelist and share the good news of Jesus Christ with your friends and your family members. We're so glad you're gathering with us online today to worship the Lord. And as we open our service, we're opening with a scripture from Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. The scripture says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases." Aren't you glad there's no end to God's love for you? Amen. It says, "His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." You know, Jeremiah wrote this during a very difficult and depressing season when the people of God were in captivity. Yet in the midst of it all, Jeremiah remembers God's character, God's love, God's mercy, God's faithfulness, and he chose to focus on God, to focus on God's unchanging love, to focus on God's unending mercies, to focus on God's great faithfulness. And as he focused on these things concerning God, it said it gave him hope for the future. And when we worship God, we're making an intentional choice to lift our minds and our hearts from our circumstances and focus ourselves on God. And when we lift up our praises to him, guess what happens? He lifts up our spirit. And hope is restored, and joy is restored, and peace is restored. So let's focus our minds and our hearts on the Lord right now as we lift our voices together to worship him. You pray right where you are. Lift your voice. Give him praise. Give him thanks for his goodness in your life. And then invite his Holy Spirit to come and move in your life and in the life of every person listening to us this morning. Join with me in prayer right now, would you? Our loving and heavenly Father, we come before you right now, and we just stand amazed at your love for us. We thank you that your love is steadfast. We thank you that your love is unchanging, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that your mercies are new to us every morning. We thank you that you are faithful, Lord God. We don't deserve your goodness, Lord God, but yet you extend your mercy to us every day. We thank you for your marvelous blessings in our life, Lord God. We focus our hearts and our minds upon you today. There's so much going on in our lives and in the world, Lord God, that it could cause our souls to be downcast and troubled and anxious, Lord God. But we choose to fix our minds and our hearts upon you, Lord God. Our hope is in you. As we worship you, we invite you to fill our lives and to fill our homes with your presence. We surrender ourselves to you. We say, have your way in us, Lord God. Let us leave this time of worship changed by your presence, O Lord. And may every person joining us this morning encounter you in a real and life-changing way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We are glad that you're joining us today, and we have a small portion of our worship team together with us this morning. So would you lift your voices together with us as we worship the Lord?
Jesus, we worship you, Lord. We raise a hallelujah before you, O Father. And no matter what we are going through, we choose to worship you. We choose to praise you in the storm, oh God. Louder and louder, we lift our voices unto you this morning to declare that Jesus is God, that Jesus is our Savior, our healer, and that our trust is in him and him alone. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. To fight for me.
Declare it. I'm gonna sing. Sing it with us.
I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is. Hallelujah, with everything inside of me, I raise a hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee.
And in truth, just take a moment right where you are to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, worthy to be praised forever. Hallelujah. And let's all come together this morning to declare that Jesus is great. That he is a great Lord, that he is a victorious King, that he rules and reigns over sickness, over every problem, every enemy, over every situation. There is nothing, absolutely nothing in heaven and earth or even under the earth that can resist the authority of the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So we declare that you are great, Lord. There is nothing, there is no one like you, oh God.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken.
Great Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Father.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken.
Shout your praise, and we declare that you are Lord, that you are King forever, Jesus.
And all the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
All the earth will shout your praises, Lord.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are
you. Let's shout it out this morning.
Lord.
Shout it out. We lift our voices to you, Jesus.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. Bones will sing, great are you, Lord.
Oh, yes, oh Lord, we lift our voices to you, Savior.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will
So we pour
thank you for the life that we have in you, for the hope that we have in you. Thank you for every blessing, oh God.
So
thank you for being with us in the storms of life, oh God. We worship you, Jesus. We give you thanks this morning for who you are, oh God. For your faithfulness, for your unconditional love, for the person of the Holy Spirit that is with us, for your truth, for your word, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, we praise you, we worship you in spirit and in truth. You thank the Lord this morning for who He is. Thank Him because He's with you. Because He's providing for your needs. Because His hand of protection is upon you, upon your family, to protect you from all evil. Because His truth is with you and is a lamp unto your feet that guides you into the path of righteousness, in the path of eternal life and victory in Christ. So this morning, let's come before Him. And let's say, Lord, I need you. I need you. I need your spirit with me. I need to hear your voice. And Lord, and I pray that you would walk with me, Lord Jesus. That you would guide me in every step in life. That you would show me which way to go, oh God. That you would lead me into that promised land that you have for me. Flowing with blessings, flowing with purpose in the name of Jesus. Walk with me, Lord Jesus. We need you, God. We need you, Jesus. And say how I need you, Lord, how I need you. Thank you.
Let's all say it. How I need you. Let's all say it together. Say it with us. How I need you. Right where you are, say to the Lord, I need you, Jesus. I'm lost without you, oh God.
How I need you. Oh, Jesus. Walk with me.
And I love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. My family without you. I don't know how to serve you without you. I don't know how to make decisions without you. I need you.
I need you.
I don't know how to be a good husband without you. I don't know how to be a good wife without you, Jesus. We need you, Lord. We need you. We don't find the answers in this world. This world cannot give us the answers because they don't have it. But we come to you this morning. There is wisdom. There is breakthrough in you, Jesus. Put out your presence. Put out your spirit, oh God.
Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you're not a God who is far and distant and indifferent towards us, Lord. But you're a God who delights as we invite you to come down into our lives, to walk with us, to lead us, to guide us, and even to carry us when we have no strength of our own. We worship you this morning, Jesus. And Lord, we say we need you. You are the strength of our lives. You are our all in all. We can't make it without you, Jesus. Come, Lord God, as we draw near to you, you have promised in your word that you will come near to us. Be near to each and every person today that humbly calls out to you, oh God. We love you, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. Be exalted, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to go before the Lord in prayer right now. And as we do, I'm going to encourage you just to lift your hand to the Lord if you have a need right where you are. God sees it. And you're lifting your hand is an expression of reaching out to God. in faith. And as we pray this morning, we want to pray for one of our members who is having a biopsy tomorrow. And let's pray that they're not going to find anything. That they're not going to find anything that is going to be clear. And we also want to pray for Maddie, who is continuing to recover from COVID, and Deanna, who's also recovering or on the mend from COVID, and anyone else that has a need, just stretch your hand out to the Lord right now, and let's agree together with you in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now, so very grateful that we have access to the throne of heaven through the precious blood of Jesus. So we come with confidence before your throne this morning, Lord God, and we lift up these who are in need today. Father, we're standing in the gap right now for this member of our church body who's undergoing a biopsy tomorrow. Father, we are believing you that you would just stretch forth your healing hand in her body. Father, that you would touch her right now. Whatever growth or spot or lump that may be there, Lord God, Father, we pray that you would speak to it right now, that you would cause it to shrivel and die. Father, we pray that when they do this biopsy, that it will be clear, Lord God, that they will find nothing, Lord. Father, we place her in your hands. We place her family in your hands. We are praying for your peace to just fill their hearts and minds as they look to you in faith. Father, we continue to lift up Deanna and Maddie and her family before you, Lord God. We thank you that you're bringing them through, Lord God, and that you're restoring them. We pray for complete healing in their bodies, Lord God. Father, touch them right now. For every need that is represented among your people by a hand upraised right now, you see and know perfectly what their need is, Lord God. Release your power towards them right now, oh God. In your grace, intervene on their behalf. For every person who is sick right now, Lord God, release your healing virtue to them. Touch them in body. Quicken them by the power of the Holy Spirit. Restore health, strength, and vitality to them, Lord God. Father, we pray for those with financial needs, that those that are in need of a job this morning. You know who they are, Lord God. Father, we pray that you would open your hand and that you would supply their need. We pray that you would go before those that are seeking employment, that you would guide their steps, that you would open doors, that you would give them favor and honor with employers, Lord God. When their application comes before an employer, Father, let that employer's attention be supernaturally drawn to their application, Lord God. When they interview, Lord God, Father, give them favor and honor with the interviewer, Lord God. Open doors and provide the needs of your people, Lord God. Father, we pray for those this morning that are struggling emotionally and mentally with these difficult times, Lord God. They're going through anxiety, sleeplessness, stress, depression, whatever it might be. But your word says that you are the restorer of our soul, the uplifter of our head. You are peace in the midst of the storm. Father, we pray that you would be all of that to your people right now, Lord God. Touch them right now in Jesus' name. Father, for everyone that is facing situations, Lord, that are beyond their control, that they see no way out of, that appear impossible to them, Lord God. Father, we thank you that the prophet of old said, you have created the heaven and the earth. Oh, Lord, there is nothing too difficult for you. Father, we believe you right now to intervene on behalf of your people. No matter how difficult it appears to us, nothing is impossible with you, Lord God. And so we trust the situation into your hands. We ask you to intervene, to bring breakthrough, to bring victory on behalf of your children, Lord God. Father, we commit every need into your powerful and able hands. And by faith in Jesus' name, we receive the answer today. We thank you for it, Lord. Amen, amen. And all God's people said, amen. Say it right out loud, right where you are this morning. Amen. Praise God. That means so be it. That means we're coming into agreement with God's promise. Amen. And we're declaring it so. Praise God. Once again, we just welcome any of you who are joining us. Maybe some of you joined us after our initial greeting, and we just want to welcome you. And we are so glad to be able to gather together with the family of God via the internet and just worship the Lord together and pray for one another and encourage one another in the Lord. And we need that now more than ever. And we just want to keep everybody updated and informed on all that's going on so that you can stay connected to the body of Christ. We want to announce that our Ministry Institute classes are going to be resuming for the fall semester in September. The first Thursday night in September will be our first class. All classes will be by video conference, so it'll be safe. You can attend class from the comfort and convenience of your living room, your dining table, your bedroom, wherever you are. We will just be joining together by video conference, but we're going to have a great time, and I know it's going to be a blessing. Offering two classes. One is intermediate ministry internship, which talks about the heart of ministry and some of the practical aspects of ministry, and the other class is eschatology, which is a study of end time events. The cost is $88 per course. You can enroll online, you can pay online, and you'll be taking your final exam online, so everything will be electronic. The only form that is not electronic is a registration form that is required by Global University. These classes are through Global University, the Assemblies of God, and for first-time students, there is a registration form. You can get it on our website, fill it out, and then email it back to us, and we can send it on to Global University. And for first-time students, there's a one-time $30 registration fee. That's not us, that's Global University. That's a registration fee for them. So everything is right online on our website. Go to nl-fl.org, click the Connect tab on the menu that goes across the top, then a menu is going to drop down and select Ministry Institute, and everything's right there for you. All the explanation, the link to enroll, the button to pay, everything is right there on that page. So be sure and do that. The deadline to register without a late fee is August the 23rd. We also want to remind everybody that we are live streaming several times a week to be able to continue ministering to you. Of course, you know Sundays at 11 a.m. because you're tuning in right now. We live stream, and we also live stream on Sunday evenings at 6:30. Pastor Anna and Joyce do a time of prayer and worship from the home. And then on Wednesday evenings, we have a time of corporate prayer with our pastoral staff. And on Thursday evenings, Pastor Anna and some of the worship team members do a time of prayer and ministry at 7:30 p.m. as well. And remember, our live stream is available on Facebook, on YouTube, and on our webpage. That is, of course, unless sometimes one of those apps give us a little difficulty connecting, you know, technology, and they sometimes make changes to their systems, and it gives us a little bit of a hiccup. But most of the time, when all goes well, we're on Facebook, YouTube, and also on our church website. And then later, the services on Sunday and Wednesday are also uploaded to Vimeo and on our podcast on Podbean and Apple Podcasts. So a wide variety of places that you can access all of our services. If you miss one, they do stay on Facebook and they stay on YouTube, so you can always go back and pick up. Or if you want to listen to it again, sometimes we just need to listen to it again and let it soak in, so you can always access them there. And then, of course, whenever we go live, we always want to encourage you to hit that share button so that we can reach as many people as possible. We want to maximize our reach to as many people as possible, and that's why we're giving them these different points of access as well. We encourage you to just like and follow our Facebook page, because that's where our live stream appears. But beyond that, we make announcements on our Facebook page. We also put inspirational and encouraging posts every day on our Facebook page. So please be sure to like and follow our Facebook page, and that way you can keep abreast of all of that information. You can be encouraged with all of those posts. And on YouTube, subscribe to our page, and that way when you're online and we go live, you'll automatically get a notification of that. Also want to remind you, we have children's ministry on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. on Zoom. We also have youth on Monday nights at 6:30, young adults Tuesday night at 6:30, and girls ministry is on Wednesday afternoon and on Thursday afternoon for the various groups in the girls ministry. We also have men's ministry on Zoom. Evangelism ministry is on Zoom, and then our senior ministry and our prayer ministry have weekly conference calls. So if you want access to any of these ministries, we want to encourage you to contact our church office. Just give us a call or email us at churchoffice@nl-fl.org. We'll be glad to get the access information for you as soon as possible. So almost all of our ministries are continuing online using the tech tools that are available to us. So the method might have changed, but the ministry remains the same, and lives are being touched. And as I said earlier, we're having people saved almost every week in response to our services, and we praise God for that. So ministry remains the same, even though the methods may have changed. And we want to always encourage you to participate participate in these various ministries so you can stay connected to the church family and you can continue to grow in your relationship with the Lord. We are continuing to fulfill our church vision to be a church not contained within walls. Of course, we want to let you know that we love you and we miss the wonderful fellowship of the body of Christ. And we are praying that God will bring an end to this plague of the coronavirus and that we'll be able to be back together very soon. In the meantime, if you need to contact us or you have prayer requests, please be sure to contact our church office. Again, churchoffice@nl-fl.org is our main email, or you can call us at 954-981-6405. The information is on your screen, and even though we're not working in the office, we do check our messages regularly. If you have a prayer request, it will be put with one of our prayer teams, and you will be having a team of intercessors praying for you. At this time, we're going to worship the Lord with our giving, and I'm going to read a passage to prepare our hearts for the worship of giving from 2 Corinthians 9. Verses 10 and 11. The scripture says, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food," and the he is God. "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." In this brief passage, Paul is actually speaking about the worship of giving, and if you read it in its larger context, you'll see that that's what he's speaking of. But Paul gives us several important principles about giving. First, he tells us that it is God who supplies our needs. He says God gives us both seed to sow and bread for food. Secondly, he tells us multiplication or increase or harvest only takes place in our lives when we sow the seed that God gives us. Now, in the natural world, any farmer knows that every crop harvest has two purposes. The two purposes of every harvest is one for food, and secondly, to reserve seed to plant again so that there will be future harvest. If they use up all the seed for food, then there'll be no harvest to come. So always a twofold purpose, food and seed for future harvest. Now, in the area of our finances, these two purposes are still relevant for us today, in that God gives us financial resources to meet our needs and to enjoy. But God also gives us financial resources for the purpose of giving, of sowing. That's seed for sowing in order that we might receive the next harvest of his blessing. It's only when we sow that God promises increase or multiplication. Therefore, as believers, we have the wonderful opportunity to enjoy a portion of God's resources in our own lives and also to sow a portion of those resources into the kingdom to bless the lives of others. And when we're obedient, then our resources are continually multiplied because the blessings of God continue to flow and he gives increase. And not only are we blessed, but the church is blessed and others are blessed. So let's sow some of the seed God has given us into his kingdom today. That's called our tithes and our offerings. And we do so with a heart of gratitude, recognizing that it all comes from him. He is the one who has supplied. He is the one who has blessed us. And we do it. We give with faith and expectancy in that he has promised to multiply back to us the seed which we sow. I worship the Lord with my giving by text just before the service this morning. I gave my tithes and I also gave various offerings. And it's really quick. It's easy. It's secure. I just save the text number to my phone, 954-516-1522. And then whenever I want to give, I just pull that up in my message app and text the amount. And it just takes seconds. And so if you're giving to tithes and offerings, you just text the amount. If you're giving $25, it's just $2.5, or $50, it's just 50. You don't need any decimals. And you don't need anything after it. Just hit send and that'll go to tithes and offerings. If you're giving to the building fund, text the amount followed by the word building, or for missions, use the word missions. And it will go to the appropriate fund. And so you can do that very simply, very quickly, very easily. If you're doing it for the first time, just text any amount, hit send. They're going to send you a link. Click on that link, fill in your name and your payment information. After that, the Purpose Gateway system saves your information so you don't have to enter it again. And it will be very simple in the future when you want to give. If you prefer, you can also give online. And just go to our website, nl-fl.org, click the Give tab, and your options for online giving are spelled out for you there. You can give through Purpose Gateway, which is the same service provider that we use for text giving, or you can give through PayPal, whichever is more convenient for you, and it's all right there. When you click the Give tab, that page will come up and explain it all to you. And if you're not comfortable with electronic giving, then of course you're always welcome, as some do, to mail their tithes and offerings into the church office. So right now, wherever you are, as you give, just lift your offering or lift your phone or touch your tablet or computer that you're using to give, and we're going to declare by faith the promises of God over our life. We can claim His promises when we're walking in faith and obedience to Him. So lift your offerings to the Lord, or your phone or your tablet. Lord, today I worship You by bringing the tithe and the offering in obedience to Your word, in honor of Your lordship, in gratitude for Your blessings, and with faith in Your promises. I declare an open heavens and overflowing blessing in my life. I declare that You will rebuke the devourer on my behalf. You will cause blessings to chase me down and overtake me. You will bless me in whatever I do and wherever I go. You will replace my lack with abundance. You will command Your blessings upon my finances and upon my job. And You will make me a lender and not a borrower. You will cause me to succeed and not to fail. You will supply all of my needs according to Your riches in glory. And I declare that as I give, it will be given back to me in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Thank you so much for your faithfulness and generosity in giving. I know that God sees it, and God is going to bless you. Let's take this opportunity, as the worship team leads us in another song, to just worship the Lord with our giving. And exalt You. Let our praises just fill the atmosphere, and let Your glory, Lord God, fill the earth, O Lord. We worship and magnify Your name. We welcome You right now, Lord God, into our lives. We pray that You would anoint the message as it goes forth, that You would touch our minds and our hearts, that we would be open to hear Your truth, and that by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that Your truth would not just inform us, but that it would transform us, Lord God. Have Your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, worship team. We love you. We appreciate you. Amen. We're continuing our series this morning, Now for Eternity. If you'll take your scriptures and turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, we're going to be reading verses 45 through 51 in just a moment. Our message is titled this morning, Evangelize While You Wait. Evangelize While You Wait. In a certain factory where each person was required to finish a specified amount of work within a given length of time, bells were rung at intervals to remind the employees how much time they had left. And while one of the supervisors were being interviewed, he said, they work better when they realize the day is slipping away from them. And so he explained that that was the system they had of ringing that bell to inform the employees that time was slipping away. And he said they work better when they know the day is slipping away from them. And the same thing is true in regard to us concerning spiritual things. We need to be frequently reminded that the time is short because we work better when we know the time is slipping away. Jesus said in John 9:4, the night is coming when no man can work. We work better when we realize the day is slipping away from us. And I believe the day is far spent and that the darkness is soon upon us. One of Satan's most effective deceptions that keeps believers from fervently doing the work of the Lord is to make us think that we've got lots of time left. Perhaps the most critical of warnings that Christ directed to his disciples at the end of the age was that many would have slipped into the belief that they had more time than what truly remained. Read with me, if you will, Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 45. The scripture says, a faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them. If the master returns and finds that the servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. I tell you the truth, the master will put the servant in charge of all he owns. But what if the servant is evil and thinks, my master won't be back for a while, and he begins beating the other servants, partying and getting drunk? The master will return unannounced and unexpected, and he will cut that servant to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, in this story, Jesus summarized the attitude of the unfaithful servant, an attitude that will be prevalent among his servants at the end of the age. And that attitude is expressed in the words, my Lord delays his coming. And the key word there is delay. You see, this man did not deny that he had a master, and he claimed to be a servant of the master. He didn't deny that his master was coming back. He just thought he had a lot of time left. His failure was believing that there was no hurry, that since his master had delayed his coming, he still had plenty of time. Jesus knew that in the last days, many would be under the delusion that they still have plenty of time. And I believe the signs that Jesus described that would mark the end of the age, increase in earthquakes and plagues and in wars and rumors of wars and lawlessness, all the signs he described earlier in this chapter and called them labor pains that would increase with frequency and intensity, these were the warning bells or are the warning bells that God is giving us to remind us that time is short and we need to get busy. I believe the coronavirus is one of those warning bells. I believe the lawlessness that we are seeing all around the world. I mean, look how many protests that we have seen. And I'm not saying they're not justifiable reasons, but in Hong Kong, now in Lebanon, here in the United States, and we're seeing this increasing type of attitude of resistance against submission to law and to leadership. Again, I'm not saying they're not justifiable reasons, but I'm just telling you that the Bible says lawlessness will be one of the end time signs. When the end comes, many will be shocked thinking, I thought I had more time. I didn't know it was going to come so quickly. A few years ago, I witnessed to a 17-year-old young man who was the nephew of one of my close friends, and he responded to me saying, I want to live my life. I want to have fun, and when I'm older, then I will think about God. 1 week later, he was involved in a fatal car accident, And it's reported that he was gone in seconds of the impact, killed almost instantly. You see, he said he was going to think about God later. But tomorrow is not guaranteed to any of us. The unsaved always think that they'll have more time to make it right. However, this story that Jesus told is not about the unsaved. These two servants actually represent the church. And two contrasting attitudes that will be prevalent in the church at the time of Christ's return. There's one servant who is described as wise and faithful, who diligently carries out his master's will and is found doing what his master commanded him to do at his return. However, there is another servant described as an unfaithful servant who says, "My Lord delays his coming." Now, he had the same command. He had the same responsibility. He had the same task as the first servant. The only difference is he thinks there's plenty of time. His idea is one day I'll get busy doing what the master appointed me to do, but not right now. Right now I'm going to live my life. I'm going to do things my way. I'm going to enjoy life the way I want to. And this is the attitude against which Jesus is warning his church, the attitude that we have plenty of time. And I believe that there are several truths that Jesus reveals to us in this passage about the end time church, and it is a warning to us. One of them is that we have a job to do, and the only time that we have to do it is now. We are to work until he comes. Even those who are living with the urgency of his coming or watching for his return are not to wait idly, standing, staring into the heavens for Jesus to return. The faithful and wise servant is the one who is found doing his master's will until he returns. The unfaithful servant neglected to do the work the master left him to do. And in a day when he was not expecting, when he was not looking for his master, the master came back and finds him living as he pleases, doing his own thing. And this servant, the unfaithful servant, experiences the judgment of his master. He is appointed a portion with the hypocrites. Who are hypocrites? Hypocrites are those who portray themselves to be one thing, but in actuality they are something else. Isn't that correct? He portrayed himself to be a servant of the master, but he actually was serving himself. He was living for himself. He was only pretending to be the master's servant. I heard a story of a guy who had an emergency and needed his suit to be dry cleaned before he left on a trip. So he remembered a store with a huge sign out front that said 1 hour dry cleaners. So he drove across town to drop off his suit because he needed it back right away. After the clerk filled out the necessary information, he told her, "I have some errands to run, but I'll be back in an hour to pick it up." She said, "I can't get this back to you in an hour. I can't get it back to you till next Thursday." The man said, "Well, wait a minute. Doesn't your sign say 1 hour dry cleaning?" And she said, "Oh no, that's just the name of our store. We don't actually do that." There's a lot of folks who carry the name Christian, but they don't actually live like Christ. They're not actually doing what Christ has called us to do. The proof is in the pudding. If we claim to be a Christian, then we have to be living as Christ and doing what Christ has called us to do. And we are to do the work he has left us to do. In this parable, the master charged his servants with a specific task. And that task was to care for and feed and oversee his other servants, his other workers. So it's not really difficult to figure out what we're supposed to be doing till Jesus comes. Jesus makes it very plain. He didn't say, "Organize a political action committee," though some churches have become little more than political soapboxes. He didn't say, "Save the whales," or "Work for world peace." He didn't say, "Commit random acts of kindness." That's the seeker-sensitive mantra or the emerging church mantra. And though I believe that we need to constantly show people the love of God in tangible ways, Our work does not stop with just doing good deeds for people. It doesn't stop with just acts of compassion. For instance, Jesus says, if you give a cup of cold water in my name, he didn't just say a cup of cold water. It's got to be connected to his name. There has to be a proclamation of the name of Jesus. So, there's a big push nowadays in churches to do all of these good deeds, these social acts. And while we should be doing good deeds and showing the love of Christ in tangible ways, it needs to be connected to a proclamation of Jesus Christ, to lifting up the name of Jesus and making him known. So Jesus made it clear what we're supposed to be doing. In verse 45, he talks of caring for the other servants of his household. Well, what is that speaking about? He talks about feeding the other servants of his household. That's ministry to the church. And he's telling us that we are all to be involved in ministering in our local church, in strengthening our local church, in building one another up, in nourishing one another in our faith. That's a part of what God has called all of us to do. And in Acts 1, 7 and 8, while the disciples are still focused on the issue of Christ's return and wanting to know when the end will take place, Jesus said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And Jesus refocuses their attention from the when of the end to what they need to be doing as they wait for his return. They are to be making sure that they're filled with the supernatural power of God, the Holy Spirit, and they need to be witnesses. They need to be reaching the world. They need to be sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 28:19, in what is called the Great Commission, Jesus says to all of us, go and preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations. That's his marching orders to every one of us. That is the commandment that he gives to all of us when he goes away, and that's what he expects to find us doing when he returns. That was his mission when he was on earth. In Luke 19:10, he said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus knew he had been sent on a mission. He knew he had been assigned a task to do, to seek and to save the lost. And at the end of his life, he was able to say, Father, I have finished the work that you gave me to do. And before he left, he said to his followers, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. This ought to be the compelling passion that motivates us in everything that we do, is to finish the work that the Lord has given us to do. And that work is to minister in the church, to build up the body of Christ, to nourish one another in the Lord, in our faith, and to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the task that he has given us to do in his absence. The second thing I believe Jesus is telling us is we have a deadline to complete the work, and it's fast approaching. In verse 50, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him. You know, the deadline is the day of the master's return. On the occasion of healing a blind man on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work. And on this occasion, when Jesus healed this blind man, the disciples were busy debating theological questions. Who did sin, this man or his parents? What's the cause of this man's suffering? Why is he in this day? Jesus didn't get involved in their theological debate. He just healed the man. And then he revealed himself to the man as the Lord, as the Savior, as the healer. And what Jesus was saying is, guys, we don't have time for these debates. The world is lost, time is short, and we need to get to work. Jesus knew the end of his life was fast approaching, and that if he was going to do the work of the Father, the only time to do it was now. Folks, the night is fast approaching for us. There is coming a time in which we will not be able to work. I believe that we are living in the end times. I believe that the rapture of Jesus Christ could happen at any moment. That's the moment that he descends in the clouds and he takes his church out of the world. Then we can't do anything else. We're gone. And I believe that that could happen at any time. If you want to read more about the rapture, just turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. We're not going to turn there now, but you can jot that down and you can read about it later on. But that's going to happen, and I believe it's going to happen very soon. We're already seeing the signs. Read through Matthew 24. Earlier in this chapter, Jesus gives us several signs that would be indicators of the nearness of his return. And I believe we're already seeing those signs fulfilled before our eyes. And Jesus is telling us the night is fast approaching and the hour is coming when we will no longer be able to do the work. There'll be no more opportunity to tell your son or your daughter about Jesus. There'll be no more opportunity to share Jesus with your brother or your sister. There'll be no more opportunity to witness of Jesus to your husband or to your wife. There'll be no more opportunity to tell your friend, your neighbor, your coworker the good news of Jesus Christ. The night is fast approaching. And when that midnight hour strikes, if they have not heard of Jesus Christ, they will be lost for all eternity. The deadline is the day of the Master's return. The deadline is a day of reckoning for his servants. Faithful or unfaithful, wise or foolish, our Master will return and hold us accountable for the work he has given us to do. Some may say, well, you know, Pastor, aren't we saved by grace through faith and not by works? And that is true. But the scripture also makes it plain that works are the evidence that our faith is genuine. And the scripture also clearly tells us that as believers, we will be judged and rewarded by our deeds. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, the scripture says, for we must all appear, this is speaking about believers, about Christians, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So even Christians are going to stand before God in judgment, not to determine whether we're going to heaven or hell. We'll already be saved by grace. We'll already be in heaven, but our reward will be determined by what we have done, by the way we have lived our life and served his purpose. And some people are going to lose their reward. Paul makes it clear to us in that passage of scripture. We don't have time to get into it today, but some people will lose their reward. They'll have no reward in heaven. But in Matthew 24, verses 50 through 51, which we read earlier, Jesus speaks of the unfaithful servant and his eternal destiny in a different light than standing before the judgment seat of Christ to receive or determine our eternal reward. He says in verse 50, the master will return unannounced and unexpected, and he will cut the servant to pieces, the unfaithful servant, and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, describing a place of intense and prolonged suffering. The implication is that even though this individual claimed to be a servant of the master, he isn't living like a servant of the master because he's not doing the master's work. So the master considers him a hypocrite, a pretender, not a genuine believer. So his eternal destiny will be eternal torment. He will be lost for all eternity. This is somebody who claimed to be a servant of God. One of the prominent emphases of Jesus's end time parables is that when Jesus returns, or the end time, it is a day of accountability for his servants. But not only is it a day of accountability, another emphasis is that it is a day of separation. And you will see that repeatedly throughout the parables concerning the end time, whether it's this parable, or it's the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 unwise. The unwise are left out of the marriage supper. They are left behind. Or the parable of the talents and the guy that buried his talent in the ground and he is cast into a place of eternal torment. There is a separation. Or in another story that Jesus told, there's a separation of the sheep and the goats. The end time is going to be a time of separation. or the separation of the wheat and the tares. They both look alike when they're growing side by side, but the master knows the difference. And at the end, there's going to be a separation. And that's one of the prominent themes that Jesus teaches concerning the end time. There's going to be a separation. A lot that looked very much like a Christian will in the end turn out not to be saved. And that is a warning sign for many of us. In the story of the unfaithful steward, as well as the story of the talents in which the man buried his talent in the ground, both of these were identified as servants of the master, and both were entrusted with a job or a task by the master, and they both ended up being cast out into a place of everlasting judgment or torment, described as a place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why? Because they claimed to be, they pretended to be something that they weren't, servants of the master. But they weren't serving the master. They neglected the master's work. One decided to procrastinate the master's work and live to please himself, thinking he had a lot of time. The other, even though he didn't do anything wrong, he just didn't do anything. He buried his talent. And they both ended up losing their soul. Paul similarly warns in Ephesians 5:15 through 17. He says, "So be careful how you live." He's writing to Christians. "Don't live like fools, but live like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do." See, a lot of us, we say, understand what the Lord wants you to believe. No, understand what the Lord wants you to do. When he comes back, he is calling us accountable for what we have done. We need to understand what the Lord wants us to do, and we need to take advantage of every opportunity by walking wisely and doing what the Lord wants us to do today, because today is the only day that we are guaranteed. Proverbs 11:30 says, "He who is wise wins souls." Remember, Jesus identified the wise servant, the wise virgins. If we want to be wise, we need to be winning souls. In Daniel 12:3, he says, "Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." So what is it that makes us wise? The fact that we're winning many souls, and the fact that we are leading many to righteousness. So evangelism and discipleship. If we're doing those things, we are reaching the lost, and we are helping to strengthen, encourage, and teach others to live the way that God is calling us to live. That's what makes us wise. And the wise servants and the wise virgins are the ones that are ready when the master returns. If we do not want to be ashamed at his return, then we need to be faithfully and diligently reaching the lost for Christ and ministering to strengthen his body, to strengthen the church. I read a story about a group which existed who called themselves fishermen. And the whole area was surrounded by streams and lakes that were filled with fish. Week after week and year after year, those who called themselves fishermen met in meetings and talked about their call to fish. They spoke about the abundance of fish. They talked about how to catch fish. Year after year, they clearly defined what fishing means. They defended fishing as a noble occupation, and they declared that fishing is the primary task of fishermen. These fishermen built large, beautiful buildings for local fishing headquarters. The plea was that everyone should be a fisherman, and every fisherman should fish. But one thing they didn't do is that they didn't fish. Now, in addition to meeting regularly, they organized a board to send out fishermen to other places where there were many fish, much like missions boards sends missionaries overseas. So they organized a board to send fishermen to other places where there was lots of fish. But the staff and committee members, they didn't fish. Large, elaborate, and expensive training centers were built, whose original and primary purpose was to teach fishermen how to fish. Over the years, courses were offered on the needs of fish, the nature of fish, how to define fish, the psychological reactions of fish, and how to approach and feed fish. Those who taught in these expensive training centers had doctorates in fishology. But the teachers didn't fish. They only taught fishing. A speakers bureau was also provided to schedule special speakers on the subject of fishing. And after one stirring meeting on the necessity of fishing, a young fellow left the meeting, got so excited that he decided he was going to go out fishing. The next day he came back and reported that he had caught 2 outstanding fish. Oh, he was honored for his excellent catch, and he was scheduled to visit all the big meetings possible to tell how he caught these 2 fish. So he quit his fishing in order to have time to tell everybody else about the experience. Now it's true that many of the fishermen sacrificed and put up with all kinds of difficulties. Some of them lived near the water and had to bear the smell of dead fish and salt water. They received the ridicule of some who made fun of their fishermen's clubs and the fact that they claimed to be fishermen yet never fished. They wondered about those who felt it was of little use to attend and talk about fishing. After all, were they not following the master who said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men"? Imagine how hurt some were when one day a person suggested that those who don't fish are not really fishermen, no matter how much they claim to be a fisherman. Yet it did sound correct. If a person claims to be a fisherman, yet year after year never catches a fish, if he isn't fishing, is he really a fisherman? If we claim to be a Christian, and Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, and he has sent us to do the same, are we really a Christian, which means Christ-like, if we're not doing what Christ commanded us to do? If we're not witnessing, if we're not leading people to Christ, if we're not discipling them, are we really a Christian? Jesus is coming, the time is near, and we will all stand before him and give account for the life that we have lived here on earth. And that day will result in a great and sad separation. Some to eternal reward, and some who thought they would receive eternal reward will receive eternal judgment. Some who claimed to be his servant will end up suffering eternal judgment. Jesus tells us this not to condemn us, but in his grace, he is warning us that if need be, we will change the way we're living so that we will be ready for his return. And the first and most important step to being ready is to repent and place our faith in Jesus Christ if we have not yet done so, or if we did so some time ago and we've drifted away. For those who profess to be a Christian, but this message has tugged at your heart, and you might be questioning, am I really ready? It starts with repenting, not just of specific acts of sin, but of the neglect of our spiritual life and not doing the work that the Lord has called us to do, not making his business the business of our life. No matter who you are, God loves you, and he has made a way for you to be forgiven of your sins and saved from the judgment to come through Jesus, who came from heaven to earth, who lived a sinless life, and he gave his life on the cross. He took our place, suffering the punishment that we deserve for our sin, so that now when we repent, and the word repent simply means to turn away from, it means that we recognize we've been heading in the wrong direction, that we've been living life our way, serving self rather than serving God. And we realize that that's the wrong direction, and we make a U-turn, and we turn to God And we say, forgive me, God, I'm a sinner. And we invite him to come and live inside of us. We place our faith in him as our Lord and Savior. And the moment that we do that, Jesus says we become born again. We're made spiritually alive. And we become a child of God. And then as we walk in relationship with him, we can be confident that heaven will be our home. If you have not yet prayed and placed your faith in Jesus, or if you did it some time ago and you've drifted away, or you're unsure that you would be ready for his return, I want to invite you right now to pray with me to receive God's gracious gift of salvation. Would you pray with me? I'm just going to say a simple prayer. I'm going to say a phrase, you repeat it. I say another phrase, you repeat it. And as you do, with your heart sincerely in faith, God is going to forgive you and God is going to give you new life in Christ. Would you pray with me? Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. And I believe that you love me so much that you died for my sins. Today, I repent. I turn away, recognizing that I have been living a life to please self rather than you. I confess that I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins, and I invite you to come, live inside of me, take complete control, and help me from this day forward to live for you. I give you my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that, I want to congratulate you. That's the best decision that you'll ever make. And I want to encourage you right now in the comments to type, I pray. Why? Because we have a free gift we want to give you. It's a small e-booklet that we want to email to you to just help you know how to grow in the relationship with Jesus Christ that you just began with that prayer. That prayer was not an end. It was a beginning of a lifelong relationship with Jesus Christ. We want to send you a little book. Very small, that will help you to grow in your relationship with the Lord. It'll lay a nice foundation for you to get started. In the interim, while you type I prayed in the comments, I just want to give you three quick steps that you can take to begin your journey with the Lord. First, talk to God every day. Talk to him like you would to a friend. A good way to start talking to him is to thank him for the good things in your life. Thank him for life itself. It's a gift from him. Thank him for all of his blessings, the good things in your life. And then talk to him about the things that you're facing in that day, the things that challenge you, the problems that are before you, the things that you need help with. And then invite him to help you change in the areas that he's showing you need to be changed in your life. That's prayer, just talking to God as you would to a friend. Then secondly, let God talk to you. And how does God talk to us? He talks to us through the Bible. That's his word, his message to us. If you don't have a Bible, then I encourage you to download the YouVersion app on your phone or your tablet. It's free, and you can read the Bible there. And I encourage you to start in a little book called 1 John in the New Testament. It's just 5 short chapters, but it tells us who Jesus is and what he's done for us, helps us to have a clear understanding of that. And I just encourage you to read a little bit every day, maybe 5 or 6 verses. And before you read, just ask God to help you to understand what you are reading and what he is speaking to your life through that. And it's a good idea to take a notebook or a journal and just write down each day as you read what the Lord is speaking to you through that passage of Scripture. And then the third thing I want to encourage you to do is get connected to a local Assembly of God church. If you're in the South Florida area, then of course we want to invite you to get connected here at New Life. We are not currently holding in-person services due to the surge of COVID-19 in our area, but keep tuning in to our live streams. We live stream multiple times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night at 6:30, Wednesdays at 7:30, Thursdays at 7:30. Keep tuning in so that you can continue to feed your faith and grow in your relationship with the Lord. And then once we open back our in-person services, we want to invite you to come and connect. We have a wonderful family of God here, and it is through our relationships with one another that we encourage and support one another and help one another to grow in the Lord. If you're not in the South Florida area, then we encourage you to find a local Assembly of God church in your area and get connected there. As we close out our service, I want to ask you, for those of you who have already placed your faith in Christ, are you serving the Lord faithfully and fervently? Are you doing the Master's work? Are you serving and caring for his servants, for the church? And are you reaching the lost? Are you faithfully witnessing? Have you witnessed to anyone this past month? Have you led anyone to the Lord since the beginning of the year? What will the Master say of the work you've done for him when he returns? Let's recommit ourselves to live every day, working faithfully for his kingdom, ministering to build one another up, to build up his church, and witnessing and reaching the lost. Would you make a fresh commitment to do those two things in your life so that when he returns, he'll find us doing what he left us to do? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you for all of those wonderful saints of God that are listening this morning, that are faithfully serving you, that they're working in ministry. Even during this time where we can't meet, they're still ministering. They're ministering by phone. They're ministering online. They're reaching out to the unsaved. I thank you for all of them, and I pray that you would bless them and strengthen them, Lord God. And Father, for all of us, we stand before you afresh and anew today because we need to renew our commitments to you in a frequent way, Lord God, because over time we can become careless or negligent, and we don't want that to happen. And so we stand before you today, and we just renew our commitment to you today to be a faithful servant, Lord God, to be one who will be fervently and faithfully doing your work within the body of Christ, strengthening the body, ministering to one another, praying for one another, discipling one another, and also to be a faithful witness, sharing Jesus Christ and reaching out to those who do not know you, that we might lead them to a relationship with you, Lord God. Father, we commit ourselves to this afresh and anew this morning. We know the time is limited. You could come back at any moment. And when you return, we want you to find us doing what you have called us to do, Lord God. And Father, as we make this commitment to you today, even as we make the commitment, we realize that even though our spirit is willing, our flesh is weak, and we are asking you for the help of your Holy Spirit, Lord God, to live out this commitment to you, Lord God. We commit ourselves unto your hands, Lord God. Father, bless your people this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We want to say thank you so much for joining us this morning. We hope the service was a blessing to you, and we pray that you will stay safe and healthy. Be blessed and have a happy Sunday. God bless you.